Well, greetings, friends. This is Garner Ted Armstrong speaking to you again in the absence of my father, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and bringing you the good news of the world tomorrow. Well, if you're like most people, my friends, you're very relieved about now. You are relieved that this Christmas shopping season is finally over. I was downtown just the other day here in Pasadena, and a man in a store mentioned that same thing to me and said that he was really relieved that it was over because he was a man selling clothing goods in a store. And, you know, if you're downtown at this time of the year and you happen to look at the expressions on the people's faces as they walk by in these shopping sprees, lavishly spending millions of dollars across our nation to trade gifts back and forth among themselves, you sometimes wonder, what is the motivating thought behind the minds and the faces of these people? It isn't immediately apparent, but for some reason, they seem to be so unhappy. You don't see their faces all lit up with joy and happiness, but instead it looks like they're just angry at someone. They're all stirred up inside. They're bitter. And they're shoving each other out of the way. And they have this expression on their face of hatred for their fellow man. Well, now maybe you haven't seen the same people that I have. Maybe you live in a town where you see nothing but joy and peace and everyone getting along fine and loving one another. But if you do, my friends, you live in the most unusual town in the United States of America. Because the people that I have talked to and the people that I have seen present a very different front, a very different appearance to those who look. Well, Mr. Armstrong has been going through here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and showing you some of the reasons for the juvenile delinquency we have across the United States today, and asking you if you know what your children are doing on their dates and on these nights when they stay out late. Showing how the father of a young girl who thought she was the most well-mannered and most well-behaved child he had ever seen was utterly shocked to find that she, too, had been out on one of these wild teenage parties. Well, he read you the section here about chastisement and how if our parents would wake up to the fact that their children are human beings and they're not some little unbreakable psychopathic case and they don't need to be treated with kid gloves for fear they're going to break or bend or it's going to warp their character, but they ought to be treated the way God himself says they ought to be, because God made us all, you know. Well, then maybe they would find the reason. He's been going through Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I want to go back just a little bit. Here in verse 11, he read this, I believe, just yesterday. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. We don't enjoy it if we're chastised for the present, and the child doesn't enjoy it either, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yes, and sometimes it needs to be exercised. It needs to be physical exercise, if you please. Then he read, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And those are important words to remember, to follow peace with all men. At this time of the year, we have just finished now with this Christmas season, where the criterion seems to be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. At least that's what you see painted in the shop windows downtown to draw bigger crowds into the merchandise counters. Nevertheless, that peace is not a visible thing. I haven't seen it. I don't know if you have or not. Well, then verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, do you know that perhaps there is no single word that is more misunderstood in your Bible than this word grace? What does grace mean? Well, apparently millions of